Jesus was in eternity, right? And he stepped out of eternity and did what? Stepped into time. Yeah, he stepped into time. He lived in time. He did what he was supposed to do. And then when he ascended back into heaven, he stepped out of time and he stepped back into eternity. The everlasting God. And so God, who is the creator of time, is not restricted by the time that he created. That God has always been.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of El Olam, the Eternal God.
He is the uncaused first cause of everything. What are you saying, Pastor Glaze? That means that God got here without a cause. Nobody caused God to happen. God just was here. He just existed, but yet and still, he's what? He's the first cause of everything else. If you look around, all these things got here because God put them here in some shape or form. So even though he's uncaused, even though there was nothing that caused him to come into existence, that he always was, yet and still, he is the first cause of everything else. When you think about evolution, evolution says that we all originated out of a pool of slime. But my question is, and I don't believe in evolution, but my question is, if there was a pool of slime that the evolutionists said that we came out of, y'all know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. Who put the pool of slime here? How did the pool of slime get here? I tell the story often about some evolutionists who challenged God to a contest. And they said, let's see who can make the best man. And so God started. And God reached down into the earth and he created a man out of the dust of the earth. And then God blew the breath of life into this man. And the man began to live. The man stood up. The man began to walk around. And the man began to enjoy life. And the evolutionist said, oh, that's pretty good. But let us go to work. And so they reached down into the dirt, and God said, ho, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. get your own dirt, right? But see, God is the one who put the dirt here, right? He's the uncaused, first cause of everything, because he is El Olam. When you think about El Olam, he knows everything from the beginning to the end, that he's always been around. He knew when we would have a problem. This God who has always been around, he knew back in eternity past when your problem was going to come. And when your problem came, it didn't take God by surprise, that God was not up in heaven saying, oh my. Oh my, I didn't see this coming. He wasn't taken off guard. When your problem came, he wasn't up there scratching his head. God knew in eternity, wow, man. He knew in eternity past. And when was that? Again, the word olam means hidden, right? It means it's hidden from our understanding, that we can't understand eternity. There's no, you can't begin to grasp eternity with your mind. And so, way back then, whenever that was, right? Whenever that was, he knew that your problem was coming. He knew that you were going to be having to deal with something that sometimes just upsets our whole life, that disrupts our whole being. And it didn't take him by surprise. And so for me, when problems come my way, the first thing I should say, El Olam knew about this a long time ago. And this, you know, it's not taking him by surprise. And therefore, I'm going to hold to God, his powerful hand. I'm going to let him take me through this time. Because he was well aware of this situation before I was. He was well aware of your problem before you were even born. Can you think about that? Wow. Before you were born, God knew when all your problems were going to happen. I tell you what, when I think about El Olam, the everlasting God, that encourages my faith. That strengthens my faith in the everlasting God, realizing that he knows all about me. He knows my life from the beginning to the end. He knows my life from the time that I was born until the time that I die and how I will exist throughout eternity. What a mighty God we serve. You know what? He knows how our problems are going to end. He knows how our problems are going to end. They asked somebody, what's your favorite verse? And the person said, it came to pass. And they said, well, why is that your favorite verse? Because, praise God, it didn't come to stay. Whatever you are going through, God knows how it's going to end. He's already seen how this thing is going to end. It's like being in a train station, right? Where you've got trains coming in and you've got trains going out. You got trains coming in from several directions. And you've got trains going out from several directions, right? And as if we were to stand on the deck and look at the train, we would just see it go by one car at a time. We would stand there and we would see the engine come by. We would see all the other cars come by. And we would see the caboose come by. We would just see these things one at a time as they went before our eyes. But there's a conductor who's sitting up in the booth, and he's able, whether it's physically or even on a computer, he's able to see all these things coming and going, right? He doesn't see it one car at a time. He gets the big picture. And so when we think about El Olam, God does not see one car of our life at a time. Whew. My. He doesn't see one car of our life passing at a time, but he sees the big picture. And he knows the plans that he has for our lives. And watch this now. And he knows how he's going to get us from the start to the finish. He knows where we're going to start, and he knows how we're going to finish. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. There was a little boy who was in a building that was on fire, and smoke was coming out of the window that he was standing at. And The father was standing on the ground. And the father said, "Jump, son, jump." Because he knew that if his son didn't jump, he was going to burn up in the fire. He said, "Jump, son, jump." And the little boy said, "But dad, I can't see you." And the father said, "But I can see you. But I can see you." Sometimes God takes us through life, and we come to places, dry places, rough places, problem places in our life. And God tells us to jump. And we say, "God, I can't. I don't have the faith. I don't have the trust." And God says, "Jump." We say, "But God, I can't see you." And God says to us, "I am," whew, he says to us, "I am El Olam. I'm the God of eternity past. I'm the God of eternity future. Go ahead and jump, because I see the beginning and I see the ending." And God just calls us to step out on faith and realize who he is, that he knows our beginning, that he knows our ending. And he says, "Just jump. Have faith. Trust me." And this is not a foolish faith. This is not a presumptuous faith, but this is a faith that's rooted and grounded in God. And God says, "Have faith. Trust me. And jump." El Olam. El Olam, he lives forever. And watch this. He keeps his promises. He lives forever and he keeps his promises. Listen to this. His mercy is everlasting. Psalm 100, verse 5. His truth is everlasting. Psalm 100 and verse 5. His covenants are everlasting. Psalm 105, verse 10. His righteousness is everlasting. Psalm 119, 142. His testimony is everlasting. Psalm 119, 144. His kingdom is everlasting. Psalm 145 and verse 13. God is the everlasting God. You know, you often think of judges, that a judge might sentence someone to a life sentence, right? And the person that they sentence to a life sentence, sometimes the judge will die while that person is still serving the life sentence. The judge will not see the person finish their life sentence. God, when he makes a decree, God, when he makes a judgment, God, when he gives mercy, when he gives grace, that he'll be around to see that it takes place. When you think of the fact that God made a promise that if you accept my son as your Lord and Savior, you will have eternal life. Now, just think, if God was not El Olam and he made that promise, right? And he said, "Well, I'm sending my son, you accept my son, and then you have eternal life." And then all of a sudden, God is off the scene. He's not around anymore, right? Then who's going to be the one that makes sure that promise continues on? Well, if God is the one who made it and he's not around anymore, now you see where I'm going. You might perish because there's nobody that's around that made the promise to make sure that the promise is going to be intact forever. But thank God, El Olam, he made the promise in that when he promises that we're going to have eternal life, woo, he's going to be around forever to make sure that it happens and that we have an inheritance that we can't lose because it was made by El Olam. I shared this story the other day on Bible study that there was a father who was very wealthy and he was about to die. And he called his son and he began to tell his son about this inheritance that he was going to receive when he died. And the son began to listen intently. And he went down point by point and told him what he was going to inherit. The son was sad that his father was about to pass away, but he knew that when his father passed away that he would receive a great inheritance. And so he went out and he began to just brag about what he was going to get. And he went to this one place and he saw a young lady there and he began to talk to her. And as he began to talk, you know, then now he wants to impress her, right? And so what do you think he did to impress her? He begins to tell her about the situation with his dad, with his father. And so he tells her about this situation and she listens. And he began to, you know, have some affection for this young lady and felt that this might be the beginning of a good relationship. And so, you know, he definitely got her number and looked forward to seeing her again. The next day he went over to check on his dad and the young lady was there. And his dad was lying on the bed and his dad said to the son, "Son, meet your new stepmom." He lost his inheritance, right? He lost his inheritance. And we thank God that God has made promises to us and that we'll never lose these promises that God has made to us because he'll always be around to make sure that these things stay intact. My mind goes back to the song that we opened with the spinners, right? I'll be around, right? Whenever you call me, I'll be there. Whenever you need me, I'll be there. Whenever you want me, I'll be there. I'll be around. You can't make a promise like that. How are you going to make a promise like that? There might come a day when you're not around to fulfill that promise because you're not El Olam. You're not the everlasting God. But God makes that promise and he can fulfill it. Let me close with this. And this is what I call, and I'm going to help somebody here, and I ask that you be patient because I want to read some scripture, but as I read the scripture, I'm going somewhere. I'm talking about a new revelation, a new revelation. And maybe that's what you need this morning. You need a new revelation. Genesis chapter 21, verses 22 through 33. Let me read that to you. And it's talking about Abraham, and he made a covenant with a man by the name of Abimelech. And it says, at that time, Abimelech, accompanied by Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, "God is with you in everything you do. Swear to me by God here and now that you will not break an agreement with me or with my children and descendants. As I have been loyal to you, you will be loyal to me and to the country where you are a resident alien." And Abraham said, "I swear it." But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well of Abimelech's servants had seized. Abimelech replied, "I don't know who did this thing. You didn't report anything to me, so I hadn't heard about it until today." Abraham took flocks and herds and gave them to Abimelech. And the two of them made a covenant. Abraham separated seven ewe lambs from the flock. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "Why have you separated these seven ewe lambs?" He replied, You are to accept the seven ewe lambs from me so that this act will serve as a witness that I dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba because it was there that the two of them swore an oath. After they made a covenant at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of the army, left and returned to the land of the Philistines. Verse 33. Oh, yeah. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. There he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. What's that name? El Olam. There he called on El Olam. But you say, what's the big deal? Oh, I'm going to help somebody out here. What's the big deal? Because up until this point, Abraham knew God as El Elyon. Remember, God appeared to him earlier, and God appeared to him as El Elyon, God, the Most High God. Abraham knew him as El Shaddai, that before this point, God appeared to him and revealed himself as El Shaddai. But now, God is revealing himself to Abraham as El Olam. That Abraham was getting to know God in a way that he had not known up until this point. That he knew how to pray to El Elyon. He knew how to pray to El Shaddai. But God said, I'm revealing myself to you as El Olam, the God, the everlasting God. And maybe we've seen God's revelation in our lives. And we've seen God reveal himself as Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. We've seen him reveal himself as Yahweh Jireh, the God who provides. We've seen him reveal himself as Yahweh Shalom, the God our peace. And we've got to know him in those ways. Today, why don't you get to know God by another one of his names, El Olam. And as I understand him as being El Olam, I realize that he knows the beginning and the end of everything that's going to happen in my life. And so when something comes into my life and I had no idea where it came from, that I can say El Olam knew all about this. I know him as El Olam. And I can also say that I know him as El Olam because he promised me that if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I have eternal life and that he's always going to be around to make sure that this life is always before me. And this life is one that I'll always have. And so get to know him as El Olam. And we thank God today for this El name of God. We've looked at El Elyon. We've looked at the God, the Most High God. We've looked at El Shaddai, the Almighty, All-Sufficient God. And today we've looked at El Olam, God, the Everlasting God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of El Roy, the God Who Sees Me. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, El Olam, the Eternal God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request El Olam, the Eternal God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request El Olam, the Eternal God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 teachings that are posted there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.